two village idiots with a love-hate relationship.
See, you got fat.
See, you still look like a 15-year-old girl, but not hot.
Who can't stop arguing over Oklahoma sports.
You know what, man? Why am I still talking to you?
Come on, we were doing good there, man.
It's the Just Okay Sports Podcast.
The Sooner Nation, Thunder Nation, we are back. This is the Just Okay Sports Podcast. I'm one of your village idiots, Daryl, and I am here with my brother, Jared. And imagine that. We got Troy somehow, someway on the pod.
I had to come on and just continue to put Lincoln Riley under the coals. Like, keep raking him.
You're saying the only way to get you on the pod is if Lincoln Riley does something?
I don't know what it feels like.
Kind of. What got me back into it? I mean, do you guys remember when I came back on after Lincoln left? I was hot. Like, I just started yelling on that episode.
Yeah, I was working out the bleep button pretty hard that day.
That was a fun day.
It was a fun day. So if you are new and somehow somebody coerced you into clicking this link, just know that this is the Just Oklahoma Sports Podcast, otherwise known as Just OK Sports. We talk a lot of Oklahoma Sooners football. We talk some Thunder basketball, especially when Troy's on the pod. And there is plenty to get to tonight. Tonight is our preview pod as the Sooners prepare to play Cincinnati. But before we preview the game, let's talk about the fact that the Oklahoma Sooners, a place where you cannot recruit talent, has the number 7 overall class with the commitment of Danny Okoye into this class. One thing I find fascinating about Mr. Okoye is this. If you go by the composite of 247 Sports, he is the number 10 edge in the country, and he's ranked 149th overall in the country. If you go by 247, which is a part of that composite, he is a 3-star, not even in the 90s ranking, and he's not in the top 200 in the country at all. And he's actually almost the 25th ranked edge. So he is the 10th ranked edge player in the composite with that score in there. So I think it's fair to say there are some very raw tools with Mr. Okoye coming into the Sooners locker room next year. Troy, how are you feeling about this one, my friend?
Are we just going right into things, not even saying hi, how you doing?
Yeah, Daryl doesn't care about us. But we do have people in chat, so we should care about them.
Yes, we should.
All right.
Yeah, Daryl's just kind of remembering that we have a chat.
You're going to have to manage the chat for me because I can't, and keep us on the flow that Troy is going to do
there
everything
is no chance
to wreck us.
Okay,
everything to get us out of the flow. We're already off. You're welcome.
We you want me to control Troy and the chat? Do you want me to come to your taxes? You mean
no?
To, like,
I'm saying I will control the flow and keep us on track while you control the chat. Oh, that's literally what I said.
I don't need babysitting. All right.
Oh my Lord, but you very much do. All I have to say, so Troy, yes, we already said hello for a moment, and I want to know now what you think of Danny Okoye.
I think this is great. I think this is wonderful. bring on the high-level recruits. So I have to bring up what I tweeted you guys earlier. Did you guys see what he said after the interview?
I did read it, but please read it for those who have not seen it yet.
This is great. Okay.
This is why Troy joined the podcast. Yeah. It's because of
this. This is great.
He hasn't even discussed the whole black Escalade driving past his house and 10,000 people trying to break in or anything. So
no.
So many things about Lincoln Riley over the last week or two.
My goodness.
This is Danny Okoye asked, why OU? Okay. Why did I pick OU? I really just vibed with the staff, and I can really buy into what the program is offering. Before, when I visited OU under Lincoln Riley, the energy wasn't the same as it is under Brent. I see how genuine and realistic they are at OU. One of the big selling points of the OU program is football isn't forever, so they want to prepare you for more than just football. That's with all programs, but I really feel there's an emphasis on this at OU and with the staff Venables brought with him. Now listen closely. Back in 2020, when I went on my visit, I didn't see Lincoln Riley one time. But when I went a few weeks ago, Brent Venables was there. He was present. He was energetic. He was passionate. He was bouncing off the walls. The difference in the energy between old OU and new OU stuck out like a nail on a wall.
I'm with you, Troy. If I could stand without it being a really awkward camera shot, I would do that right now.
I want to actually throw myself and most other OU fans under the bus at the moment, though.
Ooh, yeah, here we go.
How foolish were we? Yeah. How bad were we absolutely duped in thinking that Lincoln Riley was the savior of college football? Like, we all thought it. Don't get me, like, we all thought it. Yep. He is a quarterback guru. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
I'm not going to take anything away from his offensive genius. But how fooled were we that he can't recruit here? He can't get the defensive guys here. Give me a break. See, I used own bleep button on that one.
I mean, this is going to fire up chat. So chat's already said, by the way, Swayze made the point. You guys make this too hard. Jared controls chat. Troy gives the hot takes and Daryl saves the souls. Them's the rules. So shout out Swayze.
Swayze. Oh my gosh. That right there gets Swayze a spot on the pod sometime in the next month right there. That's what that does.
Yeah. So this is going to fire people though. I think it's because, like, logically, when you think about it, even look at him at USC now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the offense fires on all cylinders. Like, you can't argue that. Like, Caleb is a generational talent and all those things, but he knows how to scheme and all those things. So it's always been, it's like that potential thought of if he had the defensive recruiting and he had the defensive like play calling and scheme and all that, like, that would be a very nasty team. The problem is that he hasn't had that, and he goes after, I don't know, I guess.
And whose fault is it that he doesn't have that?
No, it's his.
How about this? Now, seeing the track record of Lincoln Riley as long as we have, was Mike a casualty of Lincoln?
Yeah. Yes and no.
Mike, I mean, that's a conversation we can't fully get into.
We could, but Mike did it to himself, partly.
Yeah.
He did.
But I wonder if he lost his mind so much because he wasn't allowed to actually have a physical practice and let his guys freaking learn how to tackle.
I want to know truly how much Lincoln was involved in the defensive, like, scheming and stuff too.
I don't think at all, but I think he never lets his teams tackle to the ground because he's so scared of losing his toys.
Well, but you know what I mean is, like, when you watch like Mike Stoops in his heyday, right? Like, when you watch like the early 2000s, Mike Stoops teams and stuff like that, it's a different look, right? Like, it's a different scheme, all those sorts of things.
Mike and Brent teams. Okay, we just,
yes, yeah,
they were co-defensive coordinators.
Yes, yes, but you know what I mean? Like, the scheme looked different, all those things, and so it was very weird to see. Like I said, we were all screaming when they would line up 10 yards off and then backpedal on third and two, you know?
Yeah.
But tell me what defensive coordinator wouldn't want to go work and have a team where they're the best offense every year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you can have your pick of defensive coordinators, Lincoln, but you're sticking with Alex Grinch. Tell us who would continue doing that.
Well, and I mean, we also got to talk about, I mean, like I said, it's been pretty apparent, I think, that the strength and conditioning was lackluster.
That's a great call out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, another Lincoln hire.
What else is a great call out is your new hairdo. I haven't seen you in a while, and your hairdo, Jared, is wonderful.
Mine?
Yeah. I'm digging it right now.
I think that's sarcasm, but I still appreciate it.
It's not sarcasm, but you're handsome. Shut up, Daryl. I'm talking to Jared for a minute.
I know, but I'm going to wrap up your thought and your question, and I would say this. We're going to talk about it later, so I'm going to preface this by, we were duped, Troy, because we are learning now that he's at another place where he's in charge, that he will do whatever it takes to control the narrative that is displayed about his program. So we will talk about that later on. And even Mr. Chip Kelly going, I didn't even know.
Okay.
You can't do that here. That's a great segue into what should be.
Yeah. Let me just kind of ask this one question about it.
Yes.
As an offensive coordinator, would you say Lincoln Riley is a top five offensive coordinator in college football? If that's all he did.
100%.
Okay.
Just
at not top five. He's
number one. The best. He's number one. He's
the best.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just
100%. Just, I honestly think him and Shanahan at San Francisco are the two best offensive coordinators in like football across the board.
I gotta put Sean McVay up there as well. Sean McVay is
Sean. And
Mike McDaniels. Those are the top four offensive minds in all of football in the world right now.
Might be. Yeah, I think that's very fair. Now back to recruiting for a second. Wanted to just make sure we hit a little bit of who is left as far as targets for OU. And I want to hit one in particular. Grant Bricks is left, offensive lineman. Look, depending on who you talk to, no matter who you talk to, very highly thought of. Some people believe he could actually be the highest ceiling offensive lineman in the entire class. Problem is he's a homebody and he is from the Iowa area. So will he want to be pulled away from that area to Oklahoma? That's going to be the question. Nebraska's high on his list. K-State's high on his list. And then there's us. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens there with his recruitment. Mr. Boganowski, which is an athlete, which I believe they're recruiting him as a safety, high four-star guy as well. It seems like things are good there with Oklahoma, but I wouldn't say shoe in or anything like that. But man, if you get both of those guys, it's huge. And then the last one that I do think is a long shot, but I want to yet again, I'm not trying to pump up that we know some information. I'm just reading the reality of the room. Terry Bussey is still on the board for OU. And now I know everybody believes he has leaned A&M. And I think that that's a fact. I'm still going to say when a guy chooses on his own and on his own money and on his own dime to visit a school, and 5 or 6 days after he visits said school, the coach that is his main recruiter shows up at his high school game, there's some smoke there, right? We saw this last year with the guys that we had committed that were like, well, I'm just going with my mom. She just wants to go to a Georgia game. That didn't end too well. They went on their own dime. Right. Like when guys choose to go on their own accord somewhere, there is something there. And look, if A&M ends up being a dumpster fire, Danny Okoye talked about this. One of the reasons he didn't think about OU 8 months ago was because they were 6-7. He flat out said that. So those things can impact it and we'll see what happens. And man, if you can turn Terry Bussey, that would be massive for this recruiting class. You're talking number four, number five class, if you can.
Who was at his game the other night that I saw? What coach?
Emmett Jones was at his game.
Emmett Jones, thank you. Okay,
yeah. Emmett Jones. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he comes on his own dime, then Emmett Jones. And Emmett Jones, like, let's be real, that dude's done nothing but close. Like, he is.
We'll get to the team in a minute because I got things to say about Emmett Jones. What he's doing.
I got things to say about Emmett Jones.
Emmett Jones is a, talking about his coaching, but his recruiting has been way better than I think we anticipated. We thought it was gonna be bad, but
I just saw this. Did you guys see that Danny Okoye? He was silently committed since his visit.
No, I didn't see that detail.
Just saw it on a tweet here. He told Prisbilla or Prisbilla whatever that he's been silently committed since. So he's like, I didn't need to call coach today because he already knew.
Wow. All right, let's go. Let's go. I'll take it.
You know what? You know what? If a USC beat writer was to say something like that, to actually repeat that, then he might get banned for like 2, 3, 4 weeks. Who knows?
That's two good transitions to it. Are we there yet, Daryl? Can we talk about it yet?
Fine. Let's just talk about it. Shall we? And then we got to get to the preview. But if you have not heard, Lincoln Riley, with the support of the USC administration, took a young first-year reporter on the beat of USC and suspended him from being able to be on the beat of the University of Southern California for violating multiple, yet again, that word multiple, that we've heard recently as well, just like the Braveheart clan that was storming Lincoln's house when he was trying to transition to USC. Multiple violations have caused him to be suspended for 2 weeks. He's not allowed at press conferences, after team interviews, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And let's just be real. It's a super weak move. And by the way, Troy, have you seen the story? Jared, have you seen the story?
I haven't read the story. I heard it was actually kind of a puff piece about a player on his team.
Yes. 100%.
So
100%.
I'm sorry. Like, what is it? What is he doing? What is he? Chip Kelly was asked this. I think I shared this tweet with you too. Chip Kelly was asked this and he was like, what are you guys talking about? He's like,
you can do that.
You can do that. I was like, I've never thought of doing anything like that. I don't pay attention to you guys. Like that's how insecure Lincoln Riley is.
Yes.
So, yes. I mean, it's so funny to me because like, I've seen like USC, the USC fan base is like becoming one of the most deluded fan bases on all of Twitter, in my opinion. I actually was getting Troy, I believe you sent an article about the whole the debacle with the interview and all that. I think you sent something about that. And I tweeted at somebody that was like talking about it, and they're all like, well, obviously, like he talked about it, and all you Sooner fans just keep dragging. I'm like, so you think that that reporter just somehow mysteriously knew specific details about something completely unprompted, just totally made it up and just happened to be right? And Lincoln was like, oh, yeah, no, that's exactly what happened. How'd you know? Like, you don't think Lincoln Riley's team fed that to him? Like, they're so deluded. They're like, no, the reporter just knew. And I was like, how? And it wasn't mentioned anywhere. There was no police reports. This is like completely manufactured story. Right.
But again, to Troy's point earlier, we were that fan base when he did these things. When he was blocking guys from transferring, we were like, you know, it's not a good look, but right. Like when he did all the different things, but at the same time,
it's like when the, even like Austin Kendall and stuff, where it was it Austin Kendall? Was that his
name? Yes. Yes.
So we were Kendall all like, yeah, and, like why? Like Chandler Morse. And Tanner Mordecai. Wasn't it Tanner? Yeah. Didn't he? Yeah. It's like, I mean, we were all like, yeah, you know, like we understand it, but he needs to let it go. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I feel like a lot of the USC fans are doubling down, but that's, you know, I'm biased.
I have seen a couple USC fans and it's a lot of media throw Lincoln under the bus on this.
Oh, all media nationwide they've more than a little bit come after Lincoln Riley for this deal. Because have you heard like, if you read the article, do you know what rule was violated according to the media policies of USC?
What is it?
So the piece overall, this is what the article is about, that the young man that plays running back for them is very shy when it comes to especially like things like interviews. He's not comfortable in that space. And therefore, he's also at times been kind of uncomfortable with leading his teammates, but he's really tried to grow in that area. And so the very first media availability, they came out and he's getting ready to do his interview. And before questions were asked, he leaned over to a teammate, said, do you have any advice for me before I do this interview? And because he's still working on this. And by USC policy, you are not allowed to report on anything that happens before or after said media availability. The entire piece was about how this kid is growing and developing himself. But because he put in there a little clip of what happened right before his interview, he's been banned for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, wild. Yeah. By the way, just so we can get chat, Swayze says Kim Jung Riley. Swayze's on one tonight. Swayze, let me know what you're sipping on. Can ask for doing birthday shout outs. We can. So I think Daryl turns 180 this year.
Wow.
Happy birthday, bud.
Thanks for that.
Wait, when's your B-day?
Mine's not till his is October 29th. It's coming up.
How old are you gonna be, Jay?
We're not gonna talk about it.
How old are you gonna be, Jared?
He's going to be 60 while I'm 180
Attaboy. Years old. Attaboy. The other side of 35. You're welcome.
But to go back, so I'm trying to keep up with chat so I can get, you know, chat involved. Look, I think like the biggest thing like we have with Lincoln is that, like you said, Troy, he's highly insecure. And it's like, again, it's like, I don't understand how he does these things and doesn't like think forward to how are the optics of this going to play out? You know what I mean? Like and again, it's like, it's also, but we've talked about this before and we talked about it with the whole break-in thing. It would not completely shock me within the next month if there's not some crazy thing that goes down at USC. Because it's like every time something went down at OU that was major, there was some little thing that was a distraction. And it's he's been doing it at USC too, where it's like he does the whole sleight of hand of, oh, look over here, this happened. So that nobody's looking at, you know, five players pistol whipping somebody over a bag of weed or whatever. So, you know, it is what it is.
Kudos
to Brent and his staff on, we didn't hear hardly anything about disciplinary action over the offseason in between last year and this year into this point.
Instance of underage drinking.
That was wasn't it like our place kicker?
It was our kicker and Jaden Gibson.
What was that Peyton Manning quote about our stupid kicker? Yes. You remember what I'm talking about? What was that?
I do, but I don't remember the quote.
Good. It's classic Peyton Manning.
Well, all right, let's get into this preview, because I think this is the first real, or not the first, but this is a real test for Oklahoma this weekend going to Cincinnati. And so let me just give you a bunch of stats and background of what we're walking into. Cincinnati has played Eastern Kentucky, who they won and beat 66-13. They then went to Pittsburgh and beat Pittsburgh 27-21. And then they lost to Miami of Ohio 31-24 last week in overtime. That is overtime. Now, I have really become fond of the S&P or SP Plus rankings. And so here's where it's at. By the SP Plus rankings, Oklahoma is the number 7 team in the country through 3 weeks. Cincinnati is 50th through 3 weeks. I'm trying to find it. Their offensive rating is a 26.1, and that's not good. That's 69th overall. Oklahoma is 5th overall with a 42.8. Defensively, Oklahoma is at 22 overall. And Cincinnati is 36 overall. And then special teams, 17th for OU and 95th for Cincinnati overall in the S&P Plus. Strength of schedule, though, is also something to look at. And right now, through 3 weeks, Oklahoma has the 87th ranked schedule, strength of schedule ranking, and Cincinnati has 84. Strength of schedule ranking thus far. So they played a little bit better competition. They did come up short last week within the game. So before we get into players to watch, are you guys feeling like this will actually be a test for Oklahoma? Let me just ask that. Jared, you may go first.
Yes and no. I mean, I don't think it's, I mean, still the test is going to be Texas, right? Like that's, to me, that's still the point where you're going to be able to say, like, this team is as good as it is or as it seems or it's not. Until that point, I don't think Cincinnati's really, it's going to get you closer to seeing that, I think. But, you know, if they go out and it's 60, you know, 6 to whatever against Cincinnati's, yeah, then, okay, maybe we can start, like I said, you can kind of start buying a little bit more of the stock. But again, I don't think, while Cincinnati has a pretty good defense, I don't think, like, they're kind of that weird team where I feel like, and again, I haven't watched a ton of film on them or anything, but they feel like the team, just looking at the stats, it kind of feels like maybe they're like OU was last year, right? Where it was very good, like spurts of good defense and then just never complimentary. But I do think they have more talent than we've seen, probably outside of maybe SMU. Because SMU was kind of loaded with 4 and 5 stars, you know, they're all transfers, but so yeah, I don't know. I would say, like, it's the best test year we've had this season, sure, but I don't think it's still going to be, you can't say this team is a college football playoff team or something based on how they do it in Cincinnati.
Sure. Troy?
I think that this will be easily our best test. Easily. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it'll be our best test. It'll be the first or second best defensive line we'll see all year. And honestly, SMU might be the third best defensive line.
Yeah.
Third or fourth, honestly.
Potentially. Yeah.
So if you want to make that comparison, you can. I think Lebby better freaking open up the playbook in the game. Mm-hmm. If you call the same game as SMU, it's going to be a dogfight the entire way.
Yeah.
You got to open up the playbook. Their pass defense is suspect, right? Their run defense is not bad, right?
The run defense is really good, and their run offense is very good.
So it'll be a test for our D. It'll be a test in the trenches. BV said it right at his press conference. He's completely right. Of course he is. He's BV. But this will be a war of the trenches. And
yes,
I think we can still win if we don't come out like dominant in the trenches. Mm-hmm. But I think it'll be a dogfight if we're not dominant. If we are dominant, we win 42-13. If it's a dogfight, it's a 31-21 game.
Yeah, and maybe for me, maybe even closer than that potentially. Which, by the way,
they just don't have the talent. That's the problem. They don't have the depth of talent that we do right now.
Yes, but I would say Miami of Ohio doesn't have their depth of talent either, and they were able to pull that off. But all that to say, I lost my total train of thought of where I was going. Oh, the pass defense. Wow. Everybody keeps trying to say that their pass defense is not any good. Well, look. The reality is they are they are 1.5 yards per pass play worse than us. Overall for a game, they are 12 yards per game better than us. So I would say that we're pretty even right now in pass defense, right? Like as far as this is not some they're giving up 60 yards rushing and they're giving up 300 yards passing team. Like that is not the story with this unit at all. And so I think defensively it'll be a great stat. We'll get to that yes.
But again, we'll do a little chat snippet. So Mo says not a test at all. Oklahoma 45, Cincinnati 14. Swayze already given a score prediction. Swayze says, I think that's where the way this year has played out, since he will be our second strongest game matchup wise. Mm-hmm. Mo says, shout out to Troy using a snowball mic with a pop filter. Nemo says outside of Tulsa, Lebby hasn't done much to impress me this year. And please, for the love of everything holy, stop running Jackson Arnold. Swayze says Caden Green breakout game.
We're about to get to that.
He's a dual threat, but nonstop running him is QB power. I just don't want to see a ton of cover two. We have the DBs to play man up. So that's the thoughts in chat after what we discussed.
Yeah, and let me tell you, I got to watch 90% of the Pittsburgh game. So I went back and watched that because I believe that's their stiffest competition. So that was their best played game thus far. On offense, you need to look for number 0 and number 21. Number 0 is Braden Smith, a wide receiver, 5'10", 185. That dude's a ball player, and that dude's going to make plays regardless of athleticism or anything else. That dude just plays ball. Number 21 is their running back. Corey Kiner is his name. Let me give you the comparison. And if you can go to our Twitter account, you will find a post that I put of him running the ball against Pittsburgh. He is 5'9", 215 pounds. And he moves really well. He had about a 45-yard run in that Pittsburgh game, which, by the way, my comparison for him is Towie Walker, 5'9", 216 for Towie Walker. So that you're going to see a very similar run style, bruiser, all that stuff. Defensively, the whole D-line, they all wear single digits. That's all you need to know. 0, 2, and 4. 0, 2, and 4 go 6'2", 297, 6'2", 318 pounds, and 6'3", 268 at defensive end. They are very good. And the last guy on defense that is real fun to watch, number 10. Byron Threats. I don't know how to say his last name. He reminds me a ton of Jalen Petrie when he was at Baylor. Now, he's not the thumper that Petrie was, because Petrie would straight knock you out of a game, right? But he is everywhere. Every pass play, he's in the frame. Every run play, he's in the frame. Like, he just finds the stinking football. You have got to get that guy under control. And then they have a really solid linebacker too, that's that flash some, Dorian Jones. He goes 6 foot even, 230 pounds. He's a transfer from Louisville. So look, the defense is pretty dang good. So that's kind of the players that you need to keep your eyes on and watch. And that's who they have to contain. Now, speaking of defense, I think we would all agree OU's is a little bit better this year, right? I think we've improved just a smidget on defense. Compared to last year, UTEP, we gave up 13 points, I believe, to UTEP. Yep, we gave up 3 to Kent State, and Nebraska only 14 points. But those teams also went 5-7, 5-7, and 4-8. They were not good football teams. So seeing all this up that we've seen right now, Troy, are we believing fool's gold like we did through 3 games last year? Or is this defense going to continue to play legit football?
That's the million-dollar question. Won't know until Saturday, honestly. May not know until Texas, till Austin, or Dallas, whatever. So I tend to believe yes, because there are some stats out there that are different than last year, i.e. third down conversions is better. But I don't
overall
know, man.
Efficiency, yeah.
Yeah, overall efficiency is better. You can see it on the field. From an eye test, it's better. From a depth depth of talent, better. Mm-hmm. You know, like, cornerbacks, I feel like, are better. But, like, Danny Stutzman is playing better. D-line feels a little bit more solid, even though we could use more pass rush. I don't know. I think the answer is we still don't know. But if they go out there and they win 41-10 and they hold them to 10 and they look scary doing it, like,
yeah.
I started to wonder about it on against Tulsa, because we had those two and a half drives where it's like, ooh, Cardale Williams is kind of getting around the pocket. But then they just, like, they shorted up, they stopped subbing, and they're like, hey, starters, do what you do. And dude, like, they just put the clamps on again after the first drive in the second half. That was it. And so I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how to answer that.
Jared, what do you think? Are we in for a rude awakening, or is this going to continue?
I mean, I think the defense better. How better is, I guess, the question, like you said, is the real big question. The problem I have, the one knock that I have, is I still see, I feel like more than I should, I see, like, even Danny Stutzman, as well as he's played, there's times that he overruns the gap, or he just looks a little lost when he has to drop into coverage or something like that. And against teams, like I said, the saving grace for this team, honestly, this season, is pretty much everybody on their schedule does not look like they're doing any good. Like, if Oklahoma State scores a touchdown with how they looked last week, I will be shocked. I mean, Norman North could probably stop that offense right now. So that's going to help this defense look better. But like I said, when you go up against a team like Texas, it's like some of those little details that I've seen, and I feel like I said, I feel like I've seen a little bit more than I would like. It's like, if you do that against an Xavier Worthy, that's going to the house. You know, and against some teams like that, it's like, is it going to be that good? So that's where we're, again, I don't think we'll be able to know until Dallas, but again, I think this is a much improved unit also. So yeah, I mean, I think there's no way, the future is bright. I mean,
yeah,
we've already talked about PJ and some of those other guys, obviously Peyton Bowen. There's guys across that defense that are true freshmen that are already making an impact, and you can see.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing that'll be interesting in this game is the belief is that DeSean McCullough will be back, but you know, I'm I think it would be fair to say we need to see what his ankle looks like and what his mobility looks like from that injury, if it really was a high ankle sprain. It also became official tonight that Reggie Pearson is not playing in this game. Justin Harrington is not playing in this game. You know, can Gentry's shoulder hold up? There's some injuries as well that now that it's ramping up competition, we'll see what happens. Now,
so Swayze, hang on. Swayze made a good point. I just want to highlight it. Fun note, we were living 3-0 last on High Life last season going into conference play, played a K-State team coming off a loss to Tulane where people scoffed. Yes. Can't overlook this game.
Yes. Okay. In the notes right here, this is what I said. Everyone is, I think as a fan base, is very overconfident in this game because of the loss last week. They're looking at that loss and saying this is over with. And I think 100% Cincinnati was looking ahead to this game. I don't think that they were as focused on Miami of Ohio as they should have been at all. Number two, everybody goes, well, Luke Fickell's not there anymore. One thing I believe about Luke Fickell is this. He does build culture, and that culture is still there. The culture he built is still there. Then, not only that, but you are going to a place that's playing its first Big 12 game, and you know they want to make a statement. They're playing Oklahoma, so they want to make a statement. They're playing at home. Their fans are going to want to make a statement. And the Big 12 is doing their homecoming regional party deal as well beforehand. So that's going to have everybody riled up. Look, this team better come out and play with a legit edge, because regardless of the fact that I think they have more talent, this team is going to come for blood. And they're a pissed off football team from losing last week. And you cannot go in there soft. I could not agree with Swayze more. Troy, do you think the culture and all the other stuff, does that worry you at all as far like all those things kind of lining up to this week for Oklahoma?
Yeah, a little bit, but Sauce Gardner and Desmond Ridder are not walking through those doors again. So
true.
Like that's, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, Cincinnati has not either like given us a ton of confidence to be afraid of them at the same time.
Well, and I think a big difference between losing to Miami of Ohio and losing to Tulane is Tulane was a good team last year. Tulane was like, what, 11-win team? They beat USC in the bowl game. You know what I mean? So that's a big difference. I agree with you to some extent. Like, they're going to have to come in. I think that's probably going to be a bigger test is, again, anything can happen when, you know, you kick the football off. Anything could happen, right? Like if Cincinnati gets kickoff return for a touchdown, that's a punch in the face, right? Right at the beginning of a game, you know, in a hostile environment, how does this team respond to those sorts of things? Mm-hmm. Because unless OU jumps out 28-0 again in the first quarter, the crowd's probably going to be in it for a good while. Yes. So even if they get a touchdown, it's going to get rowdy probably. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a test. I don't think it's anything you can look over. And like I said, I think so far this season, they probably are the second best team that we will play this season. Second or third, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Here is what do you guys think about this? Here's my concern with the game. Not only the home field, not the you're dealing with a team that's coming off a loss and wants to prove themselves and all those things. Here's my concern. I think that we would all agree that the weakest unit on our team is the offensive line.
Sweet. And I think that we, with you.
And I think we would all agree that their strongest unit as a team is their defensive line. Because of that, if this line does not play well, the game's going to stay close. Like if their line is everything it's been built to be, according to experts and draft people and all the stuff, then this game is going to stay within a couple scores the entire time, because we're not going to be able to run the football and we're going to struggle to protect Dylan Gabriel to get the ball moving around, right? That concerns me big time. That's what has me not on like upset alert, but they better come with their A game.
Which Levy are we going to get? That's what I'm curious.
That's another
about.
One.
Are we going to get the Levy that's like, hey, we know our weakest unit is going against your strongest unit, so we're going to run it right at you to like prove a point we can beat you, or, which again, not the smartest thing, or will he move the pocket for Dylan Gabriel, move the launching point, right? And open some things up immediately to get them back off their heels from coming straight downhill, right? That's when the running game, this game feels like a pass to set up the run game instead of a run to set up the pass game.
Sure. I could see that.
And I feel like sometimes Lebby gets ahead of himself and is like, nah, we're going to prove a point. Well, like, don't do that.
Here, I'll throw you something, Troy, because this is my thought on it. It's also, what DG do we get? Right? Well, he's been fantastic all season.
I'm the Beaton Bow slander guy. Jared is the DG slander guy.
No, hang on. I have conceded that he has looked phenomenal this season, right? I have still argued that he hasn't seen the middle of the field as well as he should, but he still looks phenomenal, right? But as the competition ramps up, how is he going to look? This is going to be the first test. Do you not agree? That's a fair point.
How about I bring up some stats?
Here it comes.
I don't have to. I'm just saying I can
hang
bring
on.
Up some stats.
Well, hang on, Troy. Before you get to where you think that you need to, you know, put me on trial here. My point is that we have to see what DG, because everybody's still saying, like, the thing is every doubter, everything is saying DG hasn't played anybody. Arkansas State was no good. Tulsa was no good. Mm-hmm. SMU was good, but you know what I mean?
And it was a struggle for 3.5 quarters.
And that was his worst.
Was that?
But
okay.
It was because of play calling,
All right. Thank you.
Because of play calling.
You argued with me after that game and during that game that it was DG's fault. I'm like, it was freaking Lebby's fault.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think you have to take the top off the defense and do those things. Cause like I was frustrated too, especially after watching film where people were like, oh, well, they were running, you know, two high safeties. And I was like, no, they weren't. They're running one high safety or, yes, you know what I mean? Like they were singled outside. They were begging for him to throw it deep. But it's one of those things. Yes, I agree. Lebby is the bigger component, but it's also DG's going to have to, if he wants to silence the doubters, go out and throw 400 yards against Cincinnati and everybody's going to shut up.
Don't, 100%. I do not disagree whatsoever. I do not disagree whatsoever.
Okay, go ahead, Troy.
No,
go, Troy. Go.
I don't need to go on my DG train right now. I don't need to keep going down that road. I think DG was better than we thought last year, and he's better than we think this year. He's been very good. I mean, more than very good. So, like, I know y'all think he's still not good. And so y'all can just go ahead and sit down.
Whoa, y'all.
Daryl, don't act like you don't have any part in this. Like, don't. Like, you talk crap about DG as much as Jared, but Jared's more vocal on the pop.
Who was in your camp at the SMU game saying that DG was fine and the play calling was killing us?
I don't think anybody was.
I was in your camp. I was agreeing with you.
Let's go back to the tape. Let's go look at the text messages where we're going.
Let's do that. All right. Here's my question. Because, Troy, this is going to make you very happy.
All right.
I think we could have a Lebby problem. So let me ask. I'm going to start with Troy. So, Jared, you can have time to think. Troy.
He needs it.
We need a drive to win this game. Okay. Who are the 11 players you put on the field?
Oh.
Okay, I'll start with wide receiver, Anthony, Farouk, Stoops. Those are my three on wide receivers. I'm putting Sawchuk in at running back.
Okay.
I'm putting DG over Jackson Arnold right now. Although, boys, we fine with that.
We good.
We okay going forward. So then on the line, and I'm gonna put in Stogner as well. Okay. And then it's the O-line. Oh god, the O-line. I said DG, yeah. I don't know who to put in the O-line. I know that I want to see Roush, Caden, Rame, Sexton, Who am I leaving out? Who's the other dude? Who's the last dude I'm leaving out?
Guyton.
Yes.
Okay. Jared, what 11 do you put on the field to get us? This is it. One minute to score.
Okay.
One minute to score. You got to put 11 guys on the field to win it all.
Okay. Wide receiver. I'm going to go Anthony, Farouk, Gibson, and Stoops.
Okay.
I'm going to go four.
So no tight end. I'm keeping the tight end in there for helping out blocking if we need it to chip.
I think you're going to have to run it down the field. So like, I just think that you need, I don't know. I'll tend to agree with you there.
For me, because of the weakness in the O-line, that's why I chose tight end in there.
No, I agree. And if I was going tight end, I'd go Stogner. Obviously, DG.
Oh, you said obviously? Okay. All
right. I mean, we good.
We good.
Man, running back, I'm going to go Walker. I was shocked, I honestly was we talked about this in the post game pod. How did he get zero carries in the Tulsa game after the game he had against SMU?
Tired for carrying the whole team through it, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he was still dead-legged. But yeah, I would go, I'd be really the offensive line that is going to be the same as yours. I honestly, we talked about this. The one guy that I don't know who would be the best replacement for him at this point, but is Rame. Rame is the weakness of that O-line, in my opinion.
Over Bird?
Yes.
Huh. But that means you're going Rouse,
Green,
Rame,
Guyton,
and your other guard, Matower.
Didn't Sexton play guard last?
No.
I guess I'd go Matower. At least he plays hard for the whole play. Okay.
So, Troy, what's interesting is what you said. The only reason you put Austin Stogner on the field is because of the weakness of the O-line. Mm-hmm. But the starting five you named.
Mm-hmm. Starting five for what?
Do you need a tight end? Yeah, the O-line. The five O-linemen, sorry, that you named. Do you need a tight end with that five? Because you named Rouse, Green, Rame, Sexton, Guyton. Whereas the line that has given us trouble is Rouse and then either Savion Bird or Troy Everett, Rame, Matower, and Guyton.
Right. Here's why I still put Stogner there. If we're talking about this year, because how many freshmen do you have sitting on the line in those five?
Okay. Caden.
And how much playing time has Sexton gotten? Not much.
Decent, but not a ton.
Yeah. That's my point. Right.
Okay.
That's my point. That's why I keep Stogner in.
So this, Troy, by the way, we did not practice this beforehand. So it was amazing that you gave that five because I've been getting to go to a lot more high school football games because my daughter's on cheer now. And then our church has been doing even tailgates at some of the local games and whatnot. And I got a guy at my church that's a referee. He's actually getting me sideline passes to go watch Kevin Speary next week. Woo-hoo! So I get to go do that. Fun. Anyways, I've been reconnecting with some coaches I've known through the years. And a coach and I just visited the other night. And we were talking OU stuff. And I was like, man, I'm just shocked they can't run the ball. I really thought the line would be okay this year. And dude, he unloads, Troy. He unloads. He goes, I don't understand it. He goes, look, I'm a high school coach. So maybe I'm an idiot and I don't see something. He said, but for me, he's like, my job is to get the 11 best players on the field. That's the job. And he said, number one, Stogner does nothing for you. He's not a good blocker, so he doesn't help. And he's zero threat in the passing game to do anything with you. Why do we have him on the field? Then he went on to say, and your two biggest problems or your biggest problem on the O-line is your interior. And your two weakest people are Matower and Rame. He goes, how in the world, and this was before the announcement of Caden Green came out. He said, how in the world is your starting five not Rouse, Caden Green, Rame, Sexton, and Guyton? Those five right there, you will be just fine on the offensive line.
What? Okay, I said Sexton, and you're like, no, you can't pick Sexton. So you guys,
didn't say you can't. You said, didn't he play guard last week? And I said, no, he didn't play guard last week. They rotated him in at tackle.
Okay, well, I'd pick Sexton. But anyways, go ahead. Go off.
Like, that five. Guys, my whole image of this game changes completely with that five.
Okay, I have heard rumors that they're going to play Caden a lot more this game, and they're playing a guard.
Yes, they said it. Like, he came after practice and said, Coach Beedenbo came to me a week ago and said, I need to play guard. Why ain't he going to Sexton and saying, we need you to play guard? Like, I just don't understand.
Here's why I think either Sexton or Matower are fine at that other guard spot. Is because I feel like both of them are going to play hard. Well, Matower, I think, is the weakest. He's one of the weaker pieces on that line. He plays hard through the whole play, which is more than I can say about Rame. We've talked about this, and I just want to like highlight it for anybody listening. Just watch when you're watching the game, watch Rame, because it's like 5 seconds after the snap, that dude just is going to go take a nap. Like, he's just going to go.
It's not even five. It's 2 seconds. If he's run blocking, he's going to block for about a second and a half, 2 seconds, and then he's going to look around to see if the running back's gone or not. But he will not finish his dude.
Yeah, he does not look interested in. There's guys on that line, like even Matower, I've seen him just absolutely pancake somebody, again, against lesser competition. But still, like, he wants to go drive his dude down the field. I'll give him that. But Rame doesn't have that interest. Rame doesn't care, in my opinion.
Right. And so all that together, here's my thing though. Rame playing without exceptional effort is, unfortunately, I like the kid. I've said it last week, is better than Matower playing all out. He is just limited in his size, in his strength, in his length. Troy Everett plays his butt off and plays as hard as he can play. But in his size and his strength and his length and his explosion is not as talented as Caden Green. He is not as talented as Jacob Sexton. And by the way, they were ready to put Jacob Sexton as a true freshman at left tackle against a top 10 draft pick last year. I mean, what are we talking about? The more that coach said it and I walked away from him, I went, you know, if those five guys were out there, number one, your DG question, Jared, does DG play better against better competition when he knows that the guys in front of him are actually capable, whether at full steam and at their best or downgraded, that they could still make the block? Whereas Matower, if he doesn't hit it just right, he's going to get blown up this week by the D tackle.
That's fair.
Does that make him play better? Does that elevate his play because he can trust the offensive line? And so again, Troy, back to your, like, what Lebby are we going to get here? And I don't know how much Brent's involved in that or not involved in that. I don't know how much Beedenbo like gets to say, these are my five guys. But I agree with that coach. Like, I'm going to look at the five best guys, and they obviously like Sexton. It's not that he's lazy or it's not that he doesn't get it. Why is he not on the field? He is one of your best offensive linemen, period. And Caden Green is too.
Chat's saying that they think it's because he's still nursing an injury, which, I mean.
He played last week. He played like 15 snaps last week. So obviously he's cleared enough to go in full action.
I definitely think that the O-line, I would even argue, because like that was something that we talked about a lot last season, was the trenches needed to get better. And I would argue that the defensive side of the ball, the trenches are much better. They may not still be dominant, but they're much better. I would even argue, like, when you watch like a game like SMU where they were having to play the full game, mm-hmm. you know, with their top players, so to speak. I think towards the end of the game, like I looked over at you during the game and said, they're going to start like wearing down the O-line. Like, cause they were rotating. They, like you were kind of saying, Troy, they had such depth and there was not a huge drop off. Right. Like PJ came in as a true freshman and you weren't like, oh my God, what's he going to do to screw this up? Like, he did his job.
Love it.
And so I think that that's something that's going to get better, but the offensive side of the ball is not that. So the offensive trenches are still a problem.
Troy, what do you think about that coach's thought?
I mean, I started it for you, and so I agree with him completely. No, I don't disagree with him. You know, he knows better, more than I do. I'm just a fan sitting on watching on TV and in the stands. But yeah, like, I think BV, here's the problem. I think BV has a problem. His one Achilles heel that I'm seeing right now is he will play hard, dudes that like try their hardest and are upperclassmen versus talented that might not play as hard, but would give you a better chance to win.
Maybe. But that's where, if you've got a freshman that plays as hard and they're just young and inexperienced, let them go.
Sure. Like let them go. Bowen. Like Peyton Bowen, PJ, but I do think like our ends, we have a lot of really talented ends right now. And I think it's going to be hard for PJ to actually see a ton of action, right. But like, let these dudes play.
Can I just say Ethan Downs is actually, I mean, again, I know it's lesser competition, but Ethan Downs has actually looked a lot better than I thought.
Oh, 100%. I thought Ethan Downs may not see much field at all, but he's played really well. I mean, you got to give it up to that guy. So, all right. Well, very quickly, Jared, what are you going to do to attack Cincinnati in this game and get a W?
I'm going to
offensively and defensively.
I mean, on offense, I'm going to call. I'm going to call a game very similar to what I did against Tulsa. I'm going to be aggressive. I'd probably run the ball a little bit more than I did against Tulsa. But yeah, I mean, you've got to start taking the top off. I mean, you've got guys that can do that. I mean, for one, Jaden Gibson and Nick Anderson, those guys got to see the field some. I don't know how you kept those guys locked up for so much of the season so far.
I don't think they did. Here's the thing. Emmett Jones is just making them great. Emmett Jones is doing the work.
Yeah. You got to start playing aggressive and on the offensive side of the ball. And then defensively, you really have to, this is going to be the biggest test for Danny Stutzman in Kanick, even more so probably. Like I said, people are going to try to twist that and say I'm a Danny Stutzman hater. I love Danny Stutzman. He's one of my favorite players on this team. But again, he's the most crucial part of Brent Venables' defense by a long shot, in my opinion. So he needs to play his top game against teams like this if they're going to be able to shut down Cincinnati. So, but again, that's Venables' thing is being aggressive. And so honestly, both sides of the ball, just be aggressive, blitz, try to take the top off the defense on the other side of the ball. Like, just go after it. Don't play this game. The one thing that I would say just don't do is don't play to not lose. Like we used to say all the time with Lincoln was play to freaking win. I want to set the goal of we're going to go hang 70 on Cincinnati. I don't care who it is we're grinding up against. That should be our goal.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that I think is really important to know about Lebby is this year, our time of possession so far is a lot better than last year.
Yes.
A lot better. He got smarter. So in that, I'm going to give him credit. What I'm not giving him credit for is his Tulsa outing, or not his Tulsa outing, his SMU play call. Mm-hmm. It was brutal. I thought the first game was good. Vanilla, but good. Tulsa was really good. Open it up. He's got to move Dylan off and change his launching points. Right. Mm-hmm. Don't just go smack your head against a wall trying to run against it, because right now our run blocking is not as solid as it was last year, frankly. And so do some things, open it up like you were talking about, see what happens, move it, maybe even run Dylan a little bit. They haven't ran Dylan hardly at all. And so if they play man up, send them out deep, move Dylan, let him read the field. On defense, though, I like what you said, Jared, a while ago. Man up. Man up. They've got the hosses to do it right now. Even if Gentry Williams' shoulder doesn't hold up, how much we losing with Kenai Walker, right? Like we not much, if any. So I say man up. And I think the most important part, because of they're so good at running the ball, Cincinnati is, the D line can't get moved. They have to they have to keep their blocks, let Kanick and Stutzman read it. Because I think, Jared, I know you don't like Stutzman that much and you're a Stutzman hater. I think Stutzman has been reading the plays really well and seeing the field that's slowing down for him this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the D line can keep their blocks and they and the O line can't get to the second level, I think Stutzman and Kanick are good enough this year to read the plays. And I think that's the key. Also, if Deshaun can play, because if Pearson's not playing, Peyton's taking that spot. Peyton Bowen's gonna be starting over for Pearson, right? Right? Right.
How about Kip Lewis?
Okay, Kip Lewis might, but I think Deshaun, get him on the field. The dude, like,
if he's healthy, yes.
If he's healthy, but if he can't read the plays, if he's not making the right reads, whatever, you flip that with like Kip Lewis or whatever. But it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be really interesting how they play it on Saturday. What time is the game? Is it 11 a.m. game?
11 a.m. game. 11 big noon. Big noon kickoff. Big noon kickoff. For me, I am going four wide receivers to come out on the offensive end, and I'm attacking the edges like crazy just to frustrate that defensive line and not give them opportunities just to move the pocket like crazy. You know, I'm doing some outside zones, things like that. I'm trying to keep things moving side to side and make them really run and really work early in that game. And I'm taking some shots and I'm playing Andrell Anthony. I'm playing Farouk Stoops and then Nick Anderson or Gibson and rotating, you know, through those on the offensive side for sure. Again, the more I thought about this coach's deal, I'm shaking that offensive line up. I know they've let everybody know about Green. I'd make the move on the other side. I think that gives you the best opportunity to neutralize that defensive line and to get things going within this game. And you are going to have to run the ball some. Defensively, here's my problem with going a lot of man-to-man on them is it's Emory Jones. Emory Jones can straight go. And the more man-to-man you play, if anybody gets moved out of their lane, he's going to have a lot of room to work. And that makes me nervous within the game. I still think you go some, but all that to say, I also think you go aggressive. You're not spying him. You're not doing any of those things. You're making him uncomfortable. And with your zone scheme, you're trusting everybody to rally and tackle the football is what I would do within the game. And I would use my run stuffers on the interior a lot more than my pass rush guys, because I really do think Kiner, if he gets going, they're going to manage that clock. They're going to play Kansas State football. They're just going to try to slowly, methodically with the run quarterback running of Kiner, work their way down and just throw what they have to and just milk the clock. And then the last thing too, like I said, the top, the S&P Plus says that they are 95th in special teams. I'm returning everything. I am returning anything unless it is just an absolute sky punt ball where there's a guy breathing on me as I catch it. Everything gets returned. And I'm trying to make a special teams moment in this game to win it and try to take the wind out of the sails of that crowd. That's my game plan for it. So, yeah, that's the game. That's what we see. That's what we think. Where it could go, and the way that you can win. You know, another way that you can try to win, especially in the NFL, is through trades and free agency. So I thought we might talk a little bit about a cowturd take. Can we do that? Is that okay to talk about a cowturd take that happened? Troy's like, I'm so done. He's like, I'm over it.
Yeah, I'm done with it.
Well, I thought it was hilarious today to see, I think it was yesterday. I saw the video today. Colin Cowherd attacking the Cleveland Browns because they've been irrelevant. They've been a terrible program and a terrible organization. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to win. And when you're a program that doesn't know how to win, and when you're a franchise that doesn't know what you're doing, and things aren't going like you want them to, you panic. And in their panic, they went and signed Deshaun Watson. And now it's all falling apart for them, because that's what bad franchises do, is they panic and they go after the nicest, shiniest toy when it really might not be the best fit. What's hilarious about this is on the day the trade was made, he spent a whole 5-minute rant talking about how pathetic Baker Mayfield was. He was loud, he was noisy, and he was not an NFL quarterback. I mean, he might play in the NFL a while, but you're not going to win with him. And the Browns were brilliant to go and try and upgrade and put themselves on the verge of having a top 5 quarterback in the AFC. I just don't understand how this guy still has a job. Like, I just, it's because I'm talking about him. That's why.
I was going to say, it's because we're talking about him.
But, it just makes me mad, because it only confirms, like, he doesn't like Baker Mayfield, for one, and that's fine. But, like, he's going to create a narrative just to bash on Baker and go down the list and bash on Baker by saying that they needed to go get Deshaun Watson. And now you've got a new narrative that, well, Deshaun Watson was actually a total panic move for them to go get and to do and blah, 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 blah. And they should have kept rolling with the punches. It's like, dude, I can't with this dude.
You know, it's funny, because it's like, I know so many people, like, I, like, obviously, like, I'm not a big NFL guy, and like, I don't have a team that I'm just diehard for, right? But like, I have a lot of friends that are, and it was so hilarious, because like, I remember when Baker was at Cleveland, and they were all like, you know, like, I'm a fan of whoever, but like, I cheer, like, I'm actually like happy that the Browns are doing better, because they've been down so long. Like, as soon as the Deshaun Watson trade happened, every one of them was like, dude, screw the Browns. Like, I hate the Browns. Like, I hope they lose every game. It's like, and it's like, it's not even like fan bases. It's like, it's not like Steelers fans or something. It's like fan bases that couldn't care less about the Browns usually are actively cheering against them. Like, they went from like the beloved, like downtrodden team to the most hated team in what, like a week? I think he's just going to jump on that bandwagon of being on the hate train now and getting clicks. Yeah. So
sure.
I don't care about Cowherd.
Very good.
He's burned my Baker too much. I don't care about him.
By the way, you know what's crazy? The Bucks tickets are ridiculous. Like,
oh, they got the MVP candidate right now in Baker Mayfield. Let's be honest. I'm not kidding. Right now, after 2 weeks, he's top 3 in the MVP voting, like, after 2 weeks.
And top 3 rated quarterback in all of the NFL.
I was like, maybe I'll try to go over to, because, like, Tampa's, like, an hour and a half, 2-hour drive, you know? It's like, maybe I go check out a game. Dude, like, tickets to, like, one of my buddies is going to see the Eagles play. The Bucks, at the Bucks. 300, like, the cheapest tickets I could find were, like, nearly $300.
That's kind of NFL world, though. I mean, that's NFL world.
Well, I don't know. You can go to Miami pretty cheap. maybe not now. Maybe Jacksonville. Maybe I can go to Jacksonville cheap. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, it's just funny. Wild. So,
well, one thing that Troy does care about is competition. So how about we have a little picks competition, shall we, for this week? Because there's some really nice games on the line this week. And so week. I have. Huh?
It's a fun week.
What I loved was last week was supposed to be this boring, terrible week, and it ended up being so fun to turn so many of those games on. Dude, but we've got some good ones.
Go ahead. I'll mention it when we get to it.
So, Troy, I'll start with you. The first game that we have on is Florida State at Clemson. Florida State is favored by 2.5. By 2.5. Who do you take, Sir Troy?
I'm not a betting man, because every time I do something like this, it always goes the opposite. I would 2.5. It's in Clemson. Is that Clemson? I'll take Florida State.
Okay. Jared.
I'm going to go Clemson. I think they're going to get together. I think they're going to, I think they played a little bit better last week. So
I'm going Florida State as well. I think that there's still some Struggleville in Clemson a little bit. And I think that Florida State's on a mission. That's my thought. Now let's go prime time, shall we? Colorado at Oregon. Colorado at Oregon. But ready for this, folks.
It's big. Minus
21 for the Oregon Ducks.
That's too big.
It's Heisman candidate. Heisman candidate Bo Nix for the Oregon Ducks.
Shadur Sanders is a first round pick, apparently. So
yeah, they're going to the college football playoff in here. Dude, all I wanted to say real quick, last week, the dumbest part of all of that, like the cringiest part of me was like them going and interviewing, like they went and interviewed Offset, who's a rapper. And they were like, you know, what do you think he's doing to get this team so good? And he's like, I think he got them ready and they're playing good. And you were just like, and then at the end of it, he was like, yo, I got a single coming out. And like, I was like, oh my Lord, like this is a circus. Anyway.
Yes.
We're going Lions, right?
Yeah, are we going against the Lions? Yeah, I'm actually gonna take Colorado to cover. Ooh. I think they're gonna lose.
Dude, yeah, I'll take Oregon and 14 points, but that line is big. Okay. That's a big line.
Troy's taking Colorado.
Daryl's taking Oregon.
I 100% am taking Oregon. 100. Look. No Travis Hunter is a problem, one. And then two, it's in Oregon. And three, Dan Lanning wants this game bad. He ain't calling the dogs off at all. If they get things rolling, he's going all out. He is definitely going all out. So
who's the best quarterback in the SEC right now?
The SEC or the Pac-12?
SEC.
I haven't watched enough to really tell you. But it ain't at Bama.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Suddenly that Texas win's not looking
is
as good.
Is it in darts at Ole Miss?
Yeah, it's either Dart or Jaden Daniels.
I haven't seen the kid at Georgia either, though. I haven't watched.
Their offense has not been very good though. So I'd go Dart probably.
I'd go Dart or Jaden Daniels for LSU.
By the way, did you see the Jedi mind tricks of Lane Kiffin this week?
I did. That was awesome.
Oh my God. Jared, did you see that?
See what?
The Jedi mind tricks of Lane Kiffin this week on Saban.
Uh-uh.
So they interviewed him at his like Monday press conference. And he said, well, as we've watched tape, we can definitely tell. And I don't know who their D coordinator is. He's like, but they've definitely switched play callers. And now he was there when I was there. He's now playing or calling the plays for Alabama. You can tell by some of the things that they're doing structurally. So he literally did all that. So the press conference with Saban, all the media members be like, so Lane Kiffin thinks that you've changed defensive coordinators. Is that the case? And like, so Saban's having a dance. Oh my gosh. It was amazing. All I had to say, Ole Miss at Alabama. Bama is favored by 6.5. Bama is favored by 6.5.
I'll take Bama. Sorry.
Oh, Troy's going Bama. He doesn't. I go, okay. I don't know. I'm going to go with old Lane Kiffy to pull this one out. I'm going with the Miss.
I will also take Ole Miss. I just don't think.
If Ole Miss wins this game, the amount of Saban's lost it, like yes. The dynasty's over. Like, oh my gosh.
Well, can we just say that, especially against USF, that was the worst performance by an Alabama team probably since Saban started.
It was not good.
It was pretty bad.
I mean, it wasn't. At least it wasn't South Alabama. You know, at least it wasn't South.
South Alabama.
We didn't even talk about that in our general like. Talk of was Mike Gundy saying that they don't have major problems, and the reason they got beat by South Alabama is those kids don't care about NIL; they just want to play football.
I think that Gundy is 100% on the hot seat right now.
Oh yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Guy, you talked about this guy earlier, Troy. Why is his name now slipping me? Holy cow!
I don't know, big boy.
Who's the coach at stinking UCLA? My gosh, I'm an
Chip
idiot.
Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly. Thank you. Chip Kelly gets to go to Utah this week. He's got a top 25 ranked team. So does Utah. Utah is favored by 4.5, Troy.
Can I ask you a question on that game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is
Cam Rising.
Is he playing? in this game?
No idea.
Also, by the way, I did think it was hilarious. We didn't talk about this either real quick while you're looking that up. The OSU OK State Probs got absolutely drugged by not only the OU fan base, but the OSU fan base, because he was trying to roast the OSU soccer player who was at OU wearing, he was like, why is she wearing crimson? Why is she at OU? And it was like, she's got two brothers that wrestle at OU. And he was like having a problem. And everybody's like, loyal. Like, but what's funny is I did go down there and people were like, she's not loyal and true. And I was like, oh my God, bro.
Here we go. Oh yeah. It was a thing. It just says probable. Everything I see just says probable.
Cam Rising's probable.
Yes. He did practice this week and looked good at practice, but they don't know if he will play this week.
And it's only a 4.5 point. Like, I'll take that. I'll take Utah and the points.
Okay. Jared.
Utah and the points.
I agree, though. Utah on the points. That place is rowdy. And then the last, OU versus Cincinnati on the road.
You're not doing Ohio State and Notre Dame?
I'm sorry. I did forget to put that in there. I apologize. I don't even know the line.
6 versus 9. I got you. It's a three-point favorite for Ohio State.
Is it at Ohio State?
No, it's at South Bend.
At Notre Dame. 3.5 for Ohio State. All right, Troy, what have you got?
Three for Ohio State. Yeah. I will take Notre Dame. I'll take Notre Dame in that.
Ooh, getting salted.
I think Jared? Marvin Harrison might be the best player in the country over Caleb Williams, but Notre Dame's going to win this game.
I don't know if I go that far. He's definitely up there with Caleb, but I don't know if I put him better than Caleb. Okay. I'm going to go, but I am going to take Notre Dame. Part of it is because I'm actually somehow weirdly cheering for Notre Dame and still hate Ohio State. So I don't know. Yes. What's their coach's? What's Notre Dame's coach's name?
It's Freeman.
Freeman.
What's his?
The old D coordinator.
Yeah. What's his name? What's his first name?
Josh. Is it Josh Freeman? No.
No.
Some of the J. No.
We are so just okay. It's
just crazy. Okay. Here's a Modelo.
No idea. Just to go on the other side, I'm going to go Ohio State.
That's fair. Okay, can we do one more? Can we do
Marcus Freeman?
Marcus
is his name.
Was that from chat? Was that from chat?
No, I Googled it.
Texas at Baylor. The line is 15 for Texas.
Oof.
I will take Baylor in the points.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay.
Hey. Troy.
You watched a different Baylor than I did.
Oh no, I watched that Baylor. They're not good in that first game. But the next two, they're fine.
I will take Texas.
Yeah, I'll take Texas, unfortunately.
I hate saying that, but I just don't see
that tastes terrible coming out of my mouth, but yeah.
All right, so back to the OU game now. On the road, Big 12 homecoming, Jared, OU favored by 14.5. 14.5 on the road. What are you taking?
Give me OU in the points, baby. Hey, by the way, I want to highlight, we didn't even talk about this. My prediction for the OU-Tulsa game, I said OU would score 66 points, which, by the way, you scoffed at. And guess how many points they scored?
How many did they score?
66. It's wild. It's like I know things. Yeah. That's what I do. I drink and I know things.
Jared, you're onto something. You're onto something because good teams win. Great teams cover the spread. What have we done 3 games in a row? We've covered the spread.
Cover the spread.
Win the points. Let's go, baby.
Wow. Okay.
I actually don't believe that. I actually kind of want to go Cincinnati in the points.
I know. I'm
I know. I kind of want to go to.
Daryl, you got to live up to your namesake. Dark Daryl.
No,
hit us with it.
I take back.
You take back?
Yeah, Cincinnati in the points.
Ooh. Change it?
I think it'll be 31-21. That's my prediction.
I'll take Cincy as well. Just to be Dark Daryl.
Do we want to give quick score predictions?
Yeah, why not? Why not? What do you think, Jared? Jared's going, yeah, that's true. 31-21 for Troy. Jared's going 62 to
48 to 13.
48-13.
If they're 48-13, ESPN's FPI rankings for us is 100% accurate. They have us at number 2 in the FPI right now.
Dude, their FPI is so broken.
Oh, it's so broken.
Alabama was still ranked way ahead of Texas.
They have SMU as 30th, by the way.
Wow. That's crazy. Score prediction for me.
Do you think we win, Daryl, or do you think
I think we do win the game. I feel confident about that, but I do think it's going to be kept close. 31-17 for me. 31-17 since he
comes right on the cusp.
Yeah.
That's right on the cusp of it.
That's what I'm throwing into the ether. So that's it. So anything else in chat, Jared, that we missed?
Nemo did say Marcus while I was Googling. Apparently there is a delay. It's like 20 seconds. I can't help that. I'm sorry, Nemo. We need to, like, if you're listening to this in podcast form, join us on YouTube when we stream this and you can interact with us a little bit.
And just follow us on social media to see, Troy's got a bunch of kids he's chasing around. I got a bunch of kids I'm chasing around, all that stuff. This is just what we do for fun. And so we try to stream when we can. So just keep up to date there. We'll let you know when it's going down and happening. Yes, Troy.
I have two things. One.
Two things.
One is Jared, Starfield is phenomenal. Mwah.
Oh, yes, my gosh.
It's fantastic.
Very much.
Let's nerd out. More nerding out. Ahsoka is also... Mwah. It's fan freaking tastic.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Jared, did you watch Clone Wars or Rebels?
Some of it, yes. Not all.
Some of it. All right. Then
remember that Jared hated also all the Star Wars reboot as well. He didn't like any of the reboot movies.
What
reboot? Well, the last three that they
seven
made.
Was okay. 8 was a complete and total dumpster fire, and 9. Somehow Palpatine is back. Thanks for that.
I'm just saying, this is awesome. Ahsoka's awesome. Obi-Wan was awesome. Andor was awesome. Give me all that. I got emotional. Spoilers if you haven't seen it. I got emotional whenever Anakin and Hayden Christensen was back. That was a freaking amazing episode.
That would be a good episode. All right, I gotta go watch Ahsoka now. Great. I'll be up till 1 in the morning. Thanks, Troy.
And by the way, Nemo does say he misses Yellowstone, and I agree with him.
Oh, give me some Yellowstone. I miss some Yellowstone.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. So, well, again, we are not reporters. We are not insiders. We are a bunch of idiots that just love OU football. We are here having a great time. We hope you are too. That's Troy. That's Jared. I'm Daryl. And we will talk to you guys later.
Bye, Baker.
Cha-ching, it's under money ball.
You can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the ball.